Welcome. This is William Evans, and you are listening to another Living World Conversation. Our guest today is Linda Walters from Salida, Colorado. She attended Colorado Rocky Mountain School from 1977 to 1980. Welcome, Linda.
Thank you.
You were a skier. Mark Clark was instrumental in your skiing career. Tell us a little bit about that at CRMS.
Yes, actually, Mark and Jeannie Clark were my first real ski coaches, cross-country ski coaches. And we started the Nordic team that year. Josh Thompson and I were basically the two members of the Nordic team, and Josh went on to become a Olympic biathlete, and I went on to be on the U.S. ski team.
And you and I met during that time, and I did a little bit of acupuncture with you.
Yes, I was overtraining like mad and developed Achilles tendonitis in my heel, both from overtraining and from rubbing on the shoe. And Jeannie Clark knew you and knew that you did alternative medicine or did acupuncture in addition to your conventional Western practice. And so you treated me with acupuncture and some other modalities, and I was able to recover and go to the Junior National Championships.
And then you went on to the University of Colorado.
Yes.
And skied there.
Yes.
And in 1984, you were elected to be a member of the United States ski team.
Yes. I left school in March of my senior year to do the Polar Cup, which was a developmental race series, a level below the World Cup. And they were all above the Arctic Circle in Norway, Sweden, Finland, and Russia.
And then I got a phone call from you in 1985.
Yes. I was in Scandinavia, and we were training, and I was having some recurrent upper respiratory infections.
And you came home, and we treated you, and you were interested enough by that time in what acupuncture could do to help you that you actually went to acupuncture school.
Yes. There was an incident before that when I had a back injury, and I saw you for the back injury.
And then I suggested to you that it would be of value to get a medical degree.
Yes, I did 1 year of a two-year program of an acupuncture school, and I had applied to medical school, but I was waitlisted, so I had a year. And then I was accepted in at CU in Denver, and so I went there for 4 years, got my degree.
During the time you were in medical school, you would go home to where you grew up and had a life-changing experience. Tell us about that.
Yes, I was studying for the national board exams in medical school, and I would study all day, and then at the end of the day, my brain would be fried, so I would go for a run. And we lived up Sunshine Canyon, my parents' home, next to Bald Mountain Park, and I would run on the trails, deer trails, and one day I encountered a mountain lion, and then I saw a second mountain lion, and they chased me up a tree, and I had a post-traumatic stress disorder that I developed after that. But while they were up in the tree, it's probably 30 minutes in which I thought that my life was over, and so I felt that I was going to die.
And give us a little more detail about the experience from the time you saw the lions till you were up the tree.
I experienced an interesting thing in that when I saw the first lion, I wasn't that threatened. But when I saw the second lion, I heard a voice in my head, which was not my voice, and it said, "Now is when you die." And it was a very calming voice, and it calmed me. And then I started scrambling up the hillside, and then I didn't consciously process what transpired after that. I had psychogenic amnesia, and then I found myself up in a ponderosa pine tree, and the lion had followed me up, one of them, and had grabbed a hold of my leg, and it was that sensation of the pain in my leg and seeing the bleeding. And I just instinctively, I kicked the lion in the face and knocked it out of the tree and climbed farther on up the tree. And then about a half an hour later, some deer came down the other hillside and the lions disappeared.
And you ran home?
I ran home. And for 3 days, I was in a total sympathetic discharge.
But I also have a memory of what you said to the doc in the ER in Boulder Community Hospital.
So I was taken to the emergency room when my parents got home and saw these wounds on my leg. And it was unclear whether they were claw wounds or tooth wounds. And so there was a question of rabies exposure.
Well, what I remember was you said to the doc there, "I know you're good, but I want a plastic surgeon."
Oh, I don't remember that.
Well, that was one of the things you told me.
Okay.
And then you had a career in medicine in Grand Junction.
I went to medical school in Denver, and I did a residency in family medicine in Grand Junction at St. Mary's Hospital. And while I was there, I got interested in emergency medicine, and I was able to become an emergency room doctor at Community Hospital in Grand Junction.
And then you retired in January of 2020.
Yes, right before COVID, with no inkling that that was coming.
COVID came, and you had to alter your plans, which were to travel up to Alaska.
Yes. When I retired, I sold my house and I bought a camper van, and I had a dog and a cat, and I was going to leave in April and drive up to Alaska and stay as long as I could until the weather forced me back down. But the border was closed, and so I could not go to Canada.
And you were in Oregon when you were near Ashland.
Yes.
In your van.
Yes.
And you smelled smoke.
And saw smoke. And I was in a national forest. I was camping in the van. And so I didn't have cell phone service, so I couldn't get any information. I couldn't get a map of the area or anything.
But you were spooked enough by the smoke and the...
Yes. It started raining down ash. Yeah.
You knew you had to get out, and you headed in the direction you headed.
Yes.
And what did you learn about the direction you'd chosen?
That I was headed down the road, and it was a bumpy Forest Service dirt road, and there was ash raining down, and I saw this creek, and I thought that I was going to have to stop and go down and get in the creek, but I had a dog and a cat, and I knew they would freak out. So I decided that we would just all die in the van. And as I was going down this road, I saw a small fire truck, a rural fire truck, and the driver signaled to me to turn around and follow him, and I did. But I thought that I was going to die.
And so you safely got out of that.
Yes.
You got away from the fire. You started heading in the direction away from it.
Yes.
And you had enough adrenaline running that you drove all the way home to Salida.
Yes. And so what I wanted to do was I wanted to head west to the coast, to the ocean, because I knew the air would be good. But the roads were closed. The roads were closed to the north. They were closed to the south. The only direction I could go was east towards Klamath Falls. And that's when I decided that I was just going to get out of there and drive home to Colorado. I drove straight through, fueled on caffeine, sugar, and stress hormones.
You had a series of very stressful experiences and even elective experiences with your skiing career that put you into what we call a sympathetic or life-protecting vigilance mode of your autonomic nervous system. And the autonomic nervous system has two divisions, a sympathetic and a parasympathetic. The parasympathetic is your life-sustaining system, where you digest your food, your breathing is comfortable. And you knew that cooperative balance when you'd be in the zone on your skis and it was effortless.
Yes.
But you could also lose control of it. And we all had experiences of losing control of it in stressful situations or even elective stressful situations where we decided to go to medical school.
Yes.
You didn't realize the extent to which that was active in your life until after COVID. Tell us kind of what happened to you during COVID.
When I came back from this trip, and I had driven straight back from Oregon, and I was just totally in sympathetic discharge, I got back to Salida, and I suffered a complete physical, emotional, psychological collapse. And I felt like I was coming down with the flu. I had fever, chills, sweats, muscle aches, profound incapacitating fatigue. I couldn't get off the couch, no appetite, not able to digest food, and it went on for weeks and weeks. And then it started to ease off a little bit, and I would gradually get better, and I would think I was getting over it. And then I would become more active, and then I would have a relapse, a recurrence. So the course of this was like a remitting and relapsing course. And I had pretty extensive medical evaluation, and I pretty much came up on my own that I had something called myalgic encephalomyelitis, which is a viral infection of the brain and spinal cord. I think in this country it's called chronic fatigue syndrome. And then in July of this, almost a year ago, my symptoms went from a relapsing and remitting course to becoming chronic. And then for 9 months, I was pretty incapacitated by all of these same symptoms. I had decided to end my life, and then I found a practitioner of mind-body medicine in Boulder, Colorado. His name is Dr. Brad Fanastil, and he has the Institute of Mind-Body Medicine in Boulder.
This is KDNK, and you're listening to A Living World Conversation with Linda Walters. So you were saying that you were so sick that you were suicidal.
Yes.
And you wrote me a letter that basically expressed that despair. I didn't immediately realize you were at the level where you were going to consider taking your own life. Say more about that.
Yeah, I wrote the letter and sent it to several people who have been very meaningful in my life because I wanted them to hear from me if they heard that I had ended my own life. I just wanted them to know why.
And in your letter, you communicated that you'd made peace with the reality you thought you had to accept.
Yes. I had felt that there was no way to overcome this illness. I had tried everything, conventional medicine, alternative medicine, supplements, acupuncture, herbs, everything, you name it. And I just felt that there was no possibility of me overcoming it, no cure. And so I was very satisfied. I had a wonderful life, and I was ready to move on.
So how did you find your way to this clinician in Boulder?
So I had a suicide attempt in February of this past year, and my family intervened, and I was put on a locked ward in a psychiatric hospital in Boulder, of all places. And the psychiatrist I met there, he immediately recognized what my problem was, and he said, I know who you need to see. You need to see a doctor of mind-body medicine.
Wow.
Yeah.
And he saved your life.
Yes, absolutely.
By his recognition of what was going on with you.
Yes. But he wasn't able to treat me.
Right, but he knew who could help you.
Yes.
And tell us who could help you.
So he referred me to Dr. Brad Fanastil, the Boulder Institute of Mind-Body Medicine. And he is a practitioner of mind-body medicine.
And before that, he was an internist.
He was an internist for 30 years in Louisville, Colorado. And then he had an experience with mind-body medicine. And he stopped practicing primary care and devoted himself to just treating patients with what he called mind-body syndromes, things like chronic pain, chronic fatigue syndrome.
And tell us about your evaluation with him and what he did.
Yeah, so he did an initial consultation in his office in Boulder, a 90-minute consultation, which is a very long time to spend with a doctor. He had me tell him my story, and he did a examination. He looked at my lab work, and then he told me that he thought I had a mind-body syndrome and that he had the tools to help me get better. And he said that doctors don't cure patients. They only provide the tools for the patient to cure themselves.
And so what did he mean by mind-body syndrome?
He did not invent the term. It started with a physician, John Sarno, MD, who was a physiatrist at the University of New York. And he talked a lot about how our subconscious mind and our emotions can cause pain in the body, things like chronic back pain, shoulder pain, knee pain, neck pain, and that there are these habit loops that your brain forms where the pain cycle just gets regenerated, and that if you can break that cycle and teach your brain that it's your subconscious brain, the lizard brain, that it is in a safe place and that you don't need the pain, pain goes away.
But you're essentially out of balance when you're in this sympathetic dominance, this life-protecting vigilance.
Yes.
And you had been out of balance and on the verge of being out of balance probably for many years.
Yes, yeah. And I think that what happened to me when I suffered this collapse, there's an idea that your sympathetic nervous system is the fight, flight, or freeze. And nobody really acknowledges the freeze mode. We're all familiar with the fight, and we're familiar with flight. But like when a fawn is hiding from a coyote, you can bet that its stress hormones are very high, but it's feigning death. And so when I was in this collapse mode, that's sort of what I was doing, was just feigning death. And my sympathetic nervous system, the primitive part of the brain, the subconscious mind, was telling me that I was in a dangerous situation and that I needed to escape from the world.
And the world didn't cooperate with any relief because as this was progressing, it actually escalated with the COVID epidemic.
Yeah, my illness coincided with the COVID epidemic.
And yet, fortunately, you didn't get a respiratory illness, but you had a chronic condition you couldn't get out of.
Yes, I felt that it was a chronic viral, and I do not know if it was COVID. I was tested for the core antibody for COVID, and it was negative, but no medical test is 100% reliable. So I do not know if I had COVID. I had all the flu symptoms, but I didn't have a cough or a runny nose.
If you and I were walking across Main Street, and a big truck came around the corner traveling fast without a thought, we will run out of the way. Our life-protecting nervous system automatically takes control and propels us to safety. When we're out of the way and safe, our life-protecting nervous system, normally calms down, and we come into a cooperative relationship with our life-sustaining nervous system. However, in July of 2023, your symptoms changed from relapsing and remitting to chronic, and you feared something was seriously wrong, eventually making a decision to end your life. Your life-protecting nervous system had kicked in and suppressed your life-sustaining functions, and it would not let go.
Yes.
So after you met your physician in Boulder who was helpful, and he explained to you what he thought was going on, what happened next?
He sees patients in consultation, and then people with similar problems, he encourages you to enroll in a class. And it's a Zoom class, 90 minutes once a week for 6 weeks. And so I saw him on a Tuesday, and the class started on a Wednesday. And he also gave me a lot of references for books to read, one by Howard Schubiner called Unlearn Your Pain, another one by Alan Gordon called The Way Out, another one by John Sarno called The Divided Mind. And so I completely immersed myself in this and did his class. And a lot of it is just like mindfulness, meditation, and somatic processing, just feeling what is occurring in your body. And I had had a lot of pain with this condition. I had what's called fibromyalgia, which I experienced as muscle pain, and I was taking a pain medicine called tramadol. And within a couple of days of doing these exercises and just reading this information and becoming knowledgeable about what was going on in my brain and my body, the pain stopped. I was able to stop the pain medicine. And then all of the other symptoms over probably 2 weeks completely resolved.
You knew what it felt like to be in balance before.
Yes.
And you experienced a sustained, unremitting state of being out of balance.
Yes.
And then within a short time, with the reassurance and the understanding you had, you made a dramatic shift.
Yes. It was like flipping a switch in your brain. And I think the most important thing was finding a practitioner who understood the narrative of my illness and was able to provide me the insight for the tools to become well.
And did the tools include anything else, or have you found anything else that's been important to you in this recovery?
When I was very sick, I couldn't do much, but I could meditate, and I was doing a lot of meditation. And then I was able to do some swimming as I was getting better. And that, I think, was very helpful because the parasympathetic nervous system is regulated by your breathing. And when you're swimming, breathing and timing of the swimming stroke is a very big part of that activity. And so that worked very well for me. I was doing yoga. I did some trauma reprocessing, EMDR, some somatic reprocessing. All of the things I did were helpful, but it was seeing this person, having it described to me, that I was able to just make this switch, and it was rather dramatic.
Wow.
Yeah.
And what has happened to your life since?
Wow. I'm trying to process what happened to me. I'm feeling very unsettled because it's like my system is wired for 110 volts and somebody flipped a switch and it's running 220 current. And I'm just trying to figure out what happened. And I want to try to process it and teach other people. Because when I was sick, nobody understood what I was experiencing. My family, my friends. There was a lot of shame involved in being sick like that. And so I just want to reach out to people and let them know that don't give up.
Is there a spiritual dimension to this? I mean, you've had a rebirth, a, a renewal.
Yeah. You know, throughout my life, I meditated a lot, and I always was interested in a spiritual awakening. But I feel like what I have gone through is more of a psychosomatic awakening. It's like my brain and my body are working in synchrony, but I don't really feel like some kind of spiritually enlightened human being. But I went from being very, very sick to not just being well, but being better than well.
So you feel better than you have in a long time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
How long?
Well, the last 4 years have been a nightmare, but then I think there was a slow process. I think around age 50, I started to feel like I was slowing down. And part of it was burnout on medicine, emergency medicine, and part of it was just the aging process. And I had some nagging injuries and things. And when I got well 2 months ago, all of that stuff just disappeared.
And you took a bike ride with Mark Clark this morning.
Yes, Mark Clark and Elliot Norquist. And it feels so amazing to feel well and to be able to exercise.
Beautiful. Thank you, Linda.
You're welcome. Thank you, Will.
A human being can tolerate only so much stress. If we exceed our capacity, an end stage of exhaustion, progressive weakness, and a final breakdown result. Stress is inevitable. How and if we recover or succumb can depend on whether we are able to evoke and maintain a healthy balance. You've been listening to Linda Walter's description of her life, her healing, and her escape from an unnecessary early death. We celebrate Linda's recovery and look forward to the next chapter in her living world story. This is KDNK. Thank you for listening.